actually grateful this morning to see these front seats here in front of me, Fuller. Last week, several of our young people were out of town in a campaign and others gone, and I just don't preach as well when these seats are empty and I need all the help I can get. I encourage all you young people to continue doing like you are and sitting here and encouraging one another. If there are others that are not sitting with you, encourage them. Keep encouraging each other to be in every Bible class on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. We have a wonderful curriculum plan for our youth, and you just don't need to miss those classes. We're just so thankful for what you do and for what Mike does with you. This morning at the early service, we had three-place membership. Daniel and Lisa Eldridge and Edith Stone and Leanne West came asking for prayers. It's already been a wonderful day in many ways, and your being here this morning helps that. Don't forget 4:45. 4:45, our VBS begins, and not only will we have the first four seats, we'll have about 8 or 10 seats here in the middle field with young people and maybe over to the side, and you just don't want to miss being here at 4:45 tonight. I'm looking forward to being able to teach the adult class. We'll have illustrated lessons, and we just hope that every one of you will plan to be here this afternoon at 4:45. From time to time, I'm asking others to make suggestions about what lessons need to be preached, and especially, I constantly am asking the elders. I appreciate their wisdom and their insight to the congregation, and many times I realize that they may see things that are needed much better than I. Recently, as we were talking about this series of lessons where we're emphasizing what's written in red, one of the elders suggested that maybe we needed a lesson on service. I especially appreciate that coming from one of the elders. You know, there's a tendency today, as indicated in the passage that Mike read, for us to emphasize honor to leaders, and honor is right and honor is due. But he says among the Gentiles in that passage are those who seemingly want to bring honor in their direction, and they're more interested in being served and ministered to than serving and ministering. And Jesus said it ought not so to be among you. He even used himself as an example. He said that he came into the world not to be ministered to, but to minister. Christianity is about service. Some of the happiest moments we have are in those times that we're doing something for someone else. You have to sit down and really think that through to agree with that, but I'm convinced it's true. I really believe that we get more good out of doing something for someone else than we do having something done for us. Now, there is a time when we need things done for us, and we need to learn to receive as well as give, and that's a lesson for another time. But, folks, Christianity is about service. And if there is anyone who is an example of that, it's our Lord. And as we look at some of his teachings today, written in red in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I think we will understand how true that is and how we need to be like him. I want to look at four passages of Scripture where Jesus taught about service, and the first is in John 13. I hope you'll take your Bible and turn with me. I think there's some value in you taking your own Bible and looking at some of these passages. If you just sort of glance at it while we're talking about it, it helps to put that in your mind. You remember basically where it is and at least remember what he's teaching. In John, the 13th chapter, about verses 4 through 15, we have an incident that has to do with Jesus washing the disciples' feet. This passage sometimes is taken out of context and used to teach something that Christ didn't intend. This is not an assembly for worship on this occasion. They had just finished eating supper. And this is not something to show worship in the direction of God. It's something where they're showing interest in the direction of one another. It has to do with service, not worship on this occasion. But it's a wonderful example of service. After they had finished eating, Jesus got a basin of water and he began to wash the disciples' feet. You may notice a little bit later on that Peter sort of refused, and let's don't be too critical of him, because it seems that he was saying, I don't want my Lord washing my feet. I don't deserve to have that being done. But Jesus said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you just don't have any part with me. If you're not willing to let me be a servant, then you don't understand my purpose in coming anyway. And so Peter, going to the other extreme, as he was capable of doing, said, don't only wash my feet, but wash my entire body. But the lesson here is that Jesus was willing to bend down, to stoop down even to the point of the feet, and to take care of needs that his associates had by washing their feet. Now, on that occasion and during that time, people probably travel from place to place mostly by walking. And one of the ways that hospitality was shown or interest in others was shown was by the washing of feet. It wasn't the washing of one already clean foot in a worship service, but it was the washing of dirty, tired feet in a place where they were together to serve one another. And Jesus was willing to stoop down and to wash his disciples' feet. I believe here he teaches us the great lesson of humility. He went ahead to say that if your Lord is willing to do this, then certainly you ought to be willing to do it. Jesus was deserving of being the Lord that he was. He was deserving of anything that was given in his direction as far as honor is concerned. And certainly he did not intend to suggest that that was out of place. But he showed that the real reason that he was deserving of honor, the real reason that he was the leader that he was because he was willing to be of service. Even his coming to this earth was not for his own good, but for the good of others. You just look at the suffering that he had to face and the difficulties through which he went while he was on earth, and you certainly are reminded of that. His very purpose for coming, his very life while he was here, was for the purpose of being a servant, a humble servant. You and I today probably would not do the same specific act that he did on this occasion because we do not have the specific need that was there. But certainly we need to be involved in carrying forth the principle that he was suggesting. It might just be a cool drink of water that we would give someone who came by to eat with us or to visit with us. It might be a cup of coffee that we would offer in the culture and the customs where we live. It might be some other way that we would show our interest and our concern. But we as Christians need to be servants today in the same sense that Jesus was. And whatever the need is of someone who might visit in our home or come to our door asking for help, or maybe our neighbors that we would see as we look about us who need help, whatever it is that we can reach out to be of service, that's what Jesus is teaching. He was willing to bow even to the washing of feet to show of his interest in other people and to show his humility. The second passage to which I would ask you to turn is in Matthew chapter 19. This is the story from about verse 16 through 22 of Matthew 19. About the young man that we usually refer to as the rich young ruler. You remember that he came to Jesus to ask Jesus what he needed to do, and Jesus first said, keep the commandments, and he asked which ones, and he told him. He said, well, I've done that from my youth up. I suppose trying to judge the mind of a person, which is not easily done and where we need to be extremely careful, we see a young man coming here probably with the attitude who said to himself, now, Jesus is going to like what I do. I have position, I have riches, I have morality. He had just about anything that any young man could want in life, and may have expected Jesus to say, well, you don't need to make any changes. Just go on doing what you're doing. You're living a good life. You're living a good moral life. But that's not what Jesus told him. Jesus said, go sell what you have and give to the poor. Come and follow me. I don't know all that Jesus had in mind, but I'm positive that he at least had the idea of unselfishness in mind. He was saying to this young man, you just can't think about taking care of yourself all the time. You need to look out and see the needs of others around you. I don't believe Jesus was condemning riches. I don't believe he was condemning anything that the young man was doing. He was concerned about what he was not doing. And what he was not doing seemingly was he was just not being the servant that he needed to be. Doing well in other areas of life, but he was not successful as far as Jesus was concerned because he was not being a servant. He was not using what he had to reach out to help others. And so Jesus said, if you're going to be a follower of mine, you've got to be unselfish. And be willing to use whatever you have to help take care of other people. We may not have as much as this young man had. In fact, sometimes most of us will sell ourselves the bill of goods that we're not very rich. And yet when you compare where we are and what we have with the majority of the world today, we are rich. And if we have any of this world's goods that we can use to help others, that's what Jesus wants us to do. He's not interested in our keeping a record and saying when we get to a certain level of prosperity that we'll reach out to help others. He's saying use whatever you have and be willing to use it to help others. That's the unselfish attitude that Jesus had, willing to even give his own blood. You just can't give any more than that. Willing to give his own blood in an unselfish way that we might have a Savior. What a lesson he taught to the rich young ruler. And what a lesson is in it for us today. The third place I want you to turn is just a few chapters later in Matthew at chapter 25. Beginning at about verse 31 and going through 46, we have the judgment scene. And I understand this to be a pretty serious situation because verse 46 says that one of these groups is going to eternal life and the other group's going to eternal damnation. You just can't get much more serious than that. But I want you to look at the simplicity of what makes the difference between those that will be saved and those who will be lost, between those who are the sheep and those who are the goats. Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. And basically what I've said is mentioned four times in that passage. In a positive way to the sheep, in a negative way to the goats, and then their reaction relative to what he said on both occasions. They sort of said, when did this happen, Lord? Well, we haven't seen you like this. He said, if you've seen the least of these, my brethren, you've seen me. And when you did these things for the very least of the people, you were doing it to me. And when you didn't do it, you were failing to do it to me. I want you to look at how simple that list is. There are very few times that you and I could not give a meal to somebody that's hungry. And it wouldn't even cost us anything, basically, to give a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty. Most of us have clothes hanging in our closets that we don't wear that some people would be happy to have because they don't have any. There are still those around us who are strangers, and occasionally one will come to the door asking for some help or for something to eat. And though we live at a time when we have to be careful and should use wisdom, it doesn't take much at least to give someone something to eat if he is hungry. It doesn't take much effort, and it costs very little, if any, for us to visit the sick and even be concerned about those who are in prison. Jesus is talking about some little simple things that we sometimes overlook because we have our priorities in the wrong place. And he says this is what service is about, and this is what makes the difference between being eternally saved and eternally lost. Pretty important conversation that Jesus is making there, or teaching that he is giving to us. Heard the story of a man who had a dream. In this dream, the Lord supposedly spoke to him and said, I'm coming to your house today. Be ready for me. Of course, he swept the house and got everything as clean as it could be and was ready. There was a knock on the door. He went to the door, and it was the next door neighbor who said, my wife is seriously ill, and I don't have an automobile. Would you take us to the emergency room? He said, well, I'm supposed to have an honored guest, but I will. And he took him to the emergency room and came back, sitting waiting for the Lord to come. A little later, a knock on the door, and there was a stranger who said, I'm hungry. And he said, well, I really don't have time to feed you because my Lord's supposed to come, but I can see that you're hungry, and I will. And he prepared him a meal and found something for him to eat and fed him. Continued to wait. The Lord didn't come. But there was another knock on the door, and it was the little neighbor boy that had a wreck on his bicycle out front and skinned his knee and needed to be patched up. And again, the man said, well, I really don't have the time, but I'll take the time to help you. And the dream continues, the story about the dream, that the day continued. And at the end of the day, he said, Lord, I'm disappointed. You told me you would come and you didn't. And the voice came back from the Lord and said, I came three times and you accepted me. I think that's what Christianity is about. I don't believe the Lord is going to speak to us like that. He speaks to us through his word. But he has taught us those very principles. And it's the Lord that may knock on our door in the person of somebody else, or maybe down the street in the person of someone else, or in the hospital, or whatever the case may be. And when you and I reach out to help others, we're serving the Lord. That's what Christianity is about. And then there is a fourth place in Luke chapter 10 that most of you know by heart, the story of the Good Samaritan that's there from about verse 30 through 36, at least the portion that we're emphasizing today. I don't even have to tell you boys and girls what happened here. You remember how the priest and the Levite, the religious people, went by on the other side. And yet the Samaritan, who would have been looked down upon by several of the people at that time, saw the man who had fallen among thieves, saw his needs, and met those needs. When I read that passage, I just almost have to, in my mind, identify that Good Samaritan with Christ, and then with the followers of Christ. Here was a man who was different, and I'm sure that he was different from the man that he was helping. I'm rather sure the man he was helping was not a Samaritan, and he was a stranger. He didn't know him, but he saw the need, and when the need was there, he did something about it. He didn't wait for somebody else. He didn't wait to get a committee together to discuss it. But he saw the needs of this man, and he began to take care of the immediate needs that he could care for. And then there were some things that were beyond his ability, it seems. So he took him somewhere else and even used his own money to see that this stranger's needs were met. Now that's what service is about. It's about not only meeting the needs, but seeing the needs. He could very easily have looked by on and gone by on the other side, not even looked at the man, but he didn't. He saw the man, he saw his needs, and he met those needs. Folks, that's what Christianity is about. And that's what Jesus is teaching when he teaches concerning the subject of service. He says we need to be like him as he washed feet. We need to be humble enough to be willing to do any job. We need to be as Christians such that we're not afraid to get our hands dirty if the job demands getting our hands dirty. Even to stoop to the washing of feet if that's needed, if that's what's needed on the occasion. And then he says, as he looks at the young ruler, we need to be unselfish, and we need to realize that the possessions that we have are to be used to serve man and give glory to God. And then he gave the scene at the judgment, and he said the difference between heaven and hell is really whether or not you are a servant. Food, water, clothing, visiting, little things. And he said in the example of the Good Samaritan, you must be willing to help the stranger, and you must be willing to see the needs and to look for those needs and to meet those needs. And I'll tell you something. When we live like that, it won't be hard for the world to see Christ living in us. But you know, there's something that's important, I think, that we need to understand, and that is that all these things that can be done by us, if done by us, when we're not Christians, really do not give the glory to God. A person might do every one of the things that we've mentioned this morning, but if he's not a Christian, he's probably going to receive the glory himself. And that's why it's important for you to be in Christ and for me to be in Christ. And as we go about our activities here on this earth, to be living in such a way that we're serving him at the same time that we're serving one another. That's just another reason why we encourage you to be baptized into Christ if you haven't been, or to come back and be restored if there's something that keeps you from being the kind of humble servant that you ought to be. There's a passage in Luke over in the 12th chapter, verses 43 and 44, simply says, blessed is that servant when his Lord, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Blessed is the man that Jesus finds serving when he comes. And folks, there's only one way to be sure that we're serving when he comes. That's just let our lives be a life of service. Not gimme, gimme, but may I help? Is there something I can do for you? That's what Christianity is about. And that's what kind of life we're asking you to live when we ask you to come to Christ, even now, as together we stand and sing.
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Be seated, please. Keep your songs the same opening, number 553.
Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul?